Eleusis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Eleusis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us, and together, we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, why we need silence. Later on in the show, I'll have an interesting offer for you, and I think you'll enjoy it. It has to do with one of our books that's being discounted for you, but more about that later. Meanwhile, I'd like to give some credit to Alice Bailey, the founder of the Eleusis Trust organization. Eleusis Trust sponsors this show, Inner Sight. And actually, as far as Alice Bailey wrote 24 volumes of literature, and the main inspiration that you hear for the dialogue that you hear in this show comes from the works of Alice Bailey, as does the following thought. Humanity, as a whole, needs silence at this time as never before. It needs time in which to reflect and the opportunity to sense this universal rhythm. Doesn't it seem as if silence is rarer than ever today?
Yes. On the one hand, we're saying that humanity needs silence as never before, and on the other hand, it seems as if it's a rarer than ever commodity. Why is that? I don't know. I suppose it has to do with the pace of life, which we all say and don't really understand what that means, but there is a stepping up of life, not only on the outer planes, but on the mental plane, education, communication, technology have all gone together to step up the activity, I suppose, of the brain. If we could register brain patterns between the human being today and someone 100 years ago, we might find a great deal more activity. And I suppose that carries its own kind of noise.
Yes, there's a lot more activity because of the technology, the miniaturization of the telephones and radios and what have you, that in TV sets, well, you can carry it around in your palm of your hand now. And so you see people constantly talking, and their brains are constantly working, and multitasking. And it's a constant noise, whether it's the noise around them, the noise of the streets, of the city, or even the traffic, or the noise of the children, there is never any relief from it. There is always the cell phone there to, if you hit a silent spot, you can always call somebody on your cell phone. So,
and I think many people do. You know, they don't feel comfortable with silence. They need to fill it with conversation.
And that's sad, in a way, because it's almost as if we're developing a fear of silence.
A friend of mine was talking about that. He has a teenage daughter who is always on the phone with her friends, and he said he thought it was related to a sense of insecurity. And I wonder if perhaps young people today don't feel more insecure about the world they are moving into than previous generations. There are plenty of reasons for them to feel rather insecure, and maybe the constant talking on the cell phone with each other is keeping them linked with their friends, their peers, and it gives them a kind of sense of well-being and companionship. But I don't know what the excuse is for the rest of us who are constantly occupied with activity in our own minds and on the outer level with multitasking, with turning on the radio or the television the minute we get up, the minute we come in the door. Why are we so uncomfortable with silence?
Well, that's a good question, but I think it's part of the testing period that we're going through, because as we move on, especially we find it in the need for silence in the work of the Lucis Trust, and particularly in the studies of the Arcane School, where the there is a lot of emphasis on meditation, and certainly in the meditation that we teach and advocate, there is a great need for building that point of silence and linking with the silence of the soul. And
The
voice of the silence, as it says. And that's one of the great tests, I think, is can we adjust to silence and adapt to silence? Because as one moves forward in consciousness, there is that which is called the silence of the ashram. I mean, this gets perhaps a little more into the teachings and the objectives of the teachings, but way down the line in terms of our evolution of consciousness, there's going to be a time when silence will be necessary and required for one to move forward.
I don't think that silence that is necessary for spiritual development is should be thought of as a kind of a blank openness or emptiness. Possibly it is in the early stages. There was that restriction of the early teacher Pythagoras, that anyone who entered his school in Crotona in ancient times had to take a vow of silence for either 2 or 3 years. Every aspirant had to take that vow in order to study with his school. Why was that? Not only to create a void in their lives, but I think it was probably meant to instill discipline and to direct their attention to the inner planes. As long as you are talking or participating in voice or sound on the outer levels of life, I think you are not able to hear sound or voice on the inner levels. Even if it's uplifting, if it's beautiful music, or listening to a tape of someone reading a wonderful book, or participating in a conversation that's very illuminating, all of those are worthy objectives. But if that's all you do, if you aren't setting aside moments for complete silence, you're not probably responding to the inner planes. Maybe people are not even aware that there is an inner side to life, but you don't discover it until you create these periods of silence.
No, that's why the one of the drawbacks of the lower concrete mind, the analytical mind, it constantly sets up a barrier to the higher intuition, the level of pure thought, and that's one of the reasons why there must be this development of silence and the ability to adapt to silence.
There's a creative element to silence that is quite fascinating to ponder. There's an ancient spiritual writing that says, "Before creation, silence and the stillness of a focused point." Before creation, silence and the stillness of a focused point. In that stillness and silence, before creative effort of any sort, energy is gathered in, mobilized, and focused. And I suppose any great artist or creator or thinker intuitively experiences that mobilizing of force in the calling in of energy for a specific goal. And there's a very interesting process that lies behind that kind of creative effort. There has to be a moment before the creative effort, whether it's writing or building or thinking a thought, before it's begun, there has to be a period of silent focus and complete calmness of the inner waves of emotion and thought. If that isn't achieved, then whatever you produce, whether it's a thought or a vision or a picture or an idea, is going to be colored by emotion and the thought of the lower mind.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today, why we need silence. And earlier I mentioned that we have an interesting offer for you, and it's actually the offer is a discount on one of our most popular, actually it's our most popular book of all the volumes of literature written by Alice Bailey. This is our most popular book. The title of it is Ponder on This, and it's a good introduction to the works of Alice Bailey. It's a compilation of extracts from all 24 of her books. Once again, it's the title of it is Ponder on This, and it's our best-selling book in nearly all languages, and it's being offered now for $16 from Lucis Publishing Company, and what you have to do is send a check or a money order to Lucis Publishing Company. Lucis is L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing Company, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's a check or money order for $16 to, once again, it's Lucis Publishing Company, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Be sure to mention Inner Sight, and you'll receive free shipping and handling. So the discount is coming in the form of free shipping and handling, and that can be quite expensive today, so that's a good offer, actually. And once again, it's for $16. We do need your help, those people who have been donating to support us. We appreciate your support, and your donations are really put towards paying for the price of the cost of this radio show, which is quite expensive. We enjoy being on the station, but good station like this costs quite a bit of money, so please help us. Large or small donations are welcome. And send your donations to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. A lot of people ask questions about Lucis Trust, questions like, is it a religion? Well, no, it's not a religion, but you'll have to read more about it. Just briefly, a succinct way of defining Lucis Trust, it's a spiritual philosophy organization, I guess is my best viewpoint of it. To get a general package of information, just give us a call at 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. Just ask for the general package of information. You'll get a lot of information about Lucis Trust in that package. The easy way to remember the phone number, 1-866 NY Lucis. That's 1-866. Think of New York Lucis. Lucis is L-U-C-I-S. If you would like to listen to our previously archived library of radio shows, you can key into our website, which is www.lucistrust.org. And I don't know, Sarah, I think you and Dale were mentioning something before. So often we tend to think of silence as being a weakness of some type, but actually the way you were talking about silence before, there's a certain power in silence. I think there's also a beauty in it because there's almost a sound to silence today because there's so little silence that when things are silent, there's a certain beauty to it. But is there a power to it? Is that a correct yes. viewpoint of a power of silence?
Yes, there is. You make me think of that song by Simon and Garfunkel. Didn't they write about the sound
right,
of
the
silence?
Sound of silence.
But there is a power to it. I think we sense that in people who tend to be very silent and reticent in their speech. Strong and silent is a term to describe men who don't say a great deal. They exude a kind of power because they don't scatter their force. A chatterbox, by the very name, is someone who scatters force indiscriminately. Speech, like all activity, needs to be measured and given out or expressed with discrimination and with a realization that energy and force are being discharged. Certainly if we think about the effect of sound upon us, the modern life with all the city traffic, the loud neighbors that might live next door to one, the incessant talking in public that bothers people at the end of a day when they just want peace and quiet. We know that sound has an effect on us. And when we learn to control the sound and to preserve silence, we're beginning to work with energy.
Yes, I'm reminded when you speak about the value of silence like that and the power of silence, I'm reminded of certain musical compositions. Composers use silence in their music to achieve certain great effects. And I'm thinking of a very familiar piece that most of us should know, the Hallelujah Chorus, written by Handel in The Messiah. And right at the very end, there is, just before the final Hallelujah, there is this silence. You know, it's a marked point of very tension, mm-hmm. that is built up by the very silence. It comes to this climax in the music, then there's this silence of a few beats, and then the final Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And it builds up to such tension that there is a great anticipation there, and that's very deliberate, mm-hmm. yeah. use of silence.
And building, you use the word building. That's what I was saying before the break, that when we are creating something, we need to use silence as a kind of a pause to focus and mobilize energy. We are building a kind of power that then is injected into our creative effort at the release of it. And knowing the timing of that, knowing when to speak, if one is speaking, or if one is a composer, when to produce music and when to be silent, is quite a fine line. Mm. Silence at the wrong time is deadly. There are times when one must speak, but silence can also be very healing. And we have to learn through experience and mistakes when each of those is needed. But there's an interesting point about creativity that I think actors and people in the arts sense, that if you speak prematurely about something, about a project, you kind of devitalize it.
Yes, that's a very old, in show business, the actors know this. If you're up for a part, you don't talk about it because it'll shatter the idea. And that's a very, in the esoteric writings, in fact, it's mentioned in the Alice Bailey books that if one talks about an idea that they have too much, that it can have a shattering effect on the delicate thought form which you're trying to build. Mm-hmm. You can actually destroy the thought form. Mm-hmm. So there is a very actual law in the use of energy and force here.
It's not being secretive. It's not wanting to keep something to yourself and not share the wonderfulness of it with others. It's not that. It's the realization that any creative effort is an idea that is precipitating, we could say, that is working out into a thought or a project or a material creation. It doesn't matter. Every creative effort has a kind of a period of gestation where it's very delicate, just like a little embryo is delicate. And I suppose creating noise around it devitalizes that delicate formation that is underway. There's a gestation and a storing of energy that is cultivated in silence. When we relate this thought to our modern day with all the noise and the incessant talk and the internet and the chat rooms and the phones and television and radio, I don't know. I think something is missing from our society that is really significant, and that there must be consequences in terms of our spiritual development.
Well, yes. I mean, it delays spiritual development, I think, with all the constant noise that's around us. It affects us at the etheric level. There is this constant vibration. It's a coarse vibration, and that constant coarse vibration does affect one's own etheric body, each of us are made with an etheric body. In fact, the etheric body is the kind of the matrix on which the physical body is formed, and that is very sensitive to vibrations, and so it's a constant vibrating that creates so much anxiety in the society, I think. And these periods of silence, if we could allow them, would be very healing.
I don't think that means that a retreat is necessary,
no.
That one should go on a week-long retreat. You're not saying that.
No, I mean, there are those that people do go on retreats, but and they do help, I suppose. But
they're not always possible.
No. And living in this very busy city like this one, in New York City, it's very difficult to avoid all this extraneous sounds. But I think that there is another way of looking at silence, and it's also related to the future of humanity. And as those in discipleship training run into this too, and that's another way of looking at silence, is not silent thought, but so much as not allowing certain lines of thought to enter into one's consciousness.
A lot of people think that if they just don't speak something, it's okay. They can think it, but they shouldn't speak it.
And disciples run into this. There are certain lines of thought that one that should be silent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know.
Not indulged.
Right. And it's the lines of thought that was primarily of the personality life, all that expresses one's emotions and feelings constantly. You don't bring those kind of lines of thought into your meditation or into your life so much.
I think this is a very important point, and it's one that also is a fine point. Obviously, spiritual people know they shouldn't criticize and gossip, even though some of them do. Obviously, it's wrong to criticize and talk about others in a negative way and to engage in backstabbing. But there's another level of speech and of talk among spiritual people that seems more harmless, that is sharing ideas, involved in personal interchange, talking about projects or activities they have in mind. Even that can be a dissipation of energy, and I think that's very hard for spiritual people to understand, that there is a time when even the wordy discussion about the spiritual life can deflect energy. They want to share their ideas, they want to share their concerns and their spiritual growth or their lack of spiritual growth. They want to talk, they want to express themselves. But again, it keeps the focus on the outer planes of life. And the attention through meditation and spiritual study has to be directed to the abstract inner planes of life. That is extremely difficult to access for anyone, and especially in this day and age.
And that kind of extraneous talk, what it does is emphasizes the self, the selfish little self-centered self.
Even if it seems harmless, it's still about your own reality.
And that's one of the values of the inner silence of the meditative state and the higher minds. It's that kind of silence takes you out of that little self. You have to leave that little self behind and leave all of those thoughts and concerns that crop up in the little self. You have to leave all of that outside the door if you want to go into the inner side of life.
But I suppose someone who is hearing this thought for the first time might be saying to themselves, well, if I don't think about me, myself, and my understanding and my ideas about the spiritual path and my view of what the path constitutes, if I don't think in those terms, I'll have nothing. I'll be empty. I'll be a void. What do we say to those people?
Well, you won't be a void, because you'll be surprised at how the silence of the soul will take over And that's a much more powerful silence. And that doesn't mean that you have to stop talking. It just means that you guard what you do say. And say you speak with goodwill, you speak with love, and you speak with understanding, but you don't speak with criticisms, which are more of the self-centered, a need for the self-centered person.
Well, I think there's another level to this, though, that is dimly formed in my mind, but here I am talking about it anyway, far too prematurely. But we did a series of programs a few months ago, From the Unreal to the Real, and we tried to discern in those discussions what is real. And we came to the conclusion that everything that has to do with the outer world, not just the physical plane, but the world of thought, of feeling, of tangible forms, all of that is unreal. And the true reality, capital R, exists only on inner, intangible levels of pure spirit. And the silence that we need to cultivate is the only means to access that level of reality. So I think in our efforts to cultivate meditation and to develop an awareness of that inner level, there is necessarily a period that we go through where we feel that we are simply empty. The outer world doesn't speak to us anymore, but we are not hearing very much from the inner side. And I think it takes a certain persistence and faith and a kind of a spiritual courage to believe that one can eventually make a breakthrough to that inner level.
It's a matter of synchronization. It gets mm-hmm. back to that. It's synchronizing your outer silence with the vibration rate of the inner silence. And it just takes experimenting, as you say, it takes experimenting in order, before you reach that common sense of vibration with the silence.
And the fact that you sense there's power in silence, sound in silence, suggests that there is that vibration you have to reach.
Well, I hope you take advantage of our offer today. We have a wonderful offer today, which is a discount on one of our books. The book is titled Ponder on This. I like Ponder on This because when I first got interested in the Alice Bailey literature, that's the book that I looked at because it's a cross-section of all of her work, and so you...
And you have to be silent to ponder.
That's right. You got to ponder on it. But the discount comes in form of free shipping and handling today, so you have to send a check or money order to Lucis Publishing Company, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's Lucis, L-U-C-I-S, Publishing Company, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. You have to mention that you heard about the offer on our show, Inner Sight. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.